FM on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. And keep being good to each other. All right. And remember, just when your aspirations seem outrageous, like trying to save the planet, that inspiration is...
on my titties like you wanted me, calling me all the time, that Bondi, check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all over the time. What else is in the teachers of peaches, like sex on the beaches,
The sun, the stars, the powers of these writings, enlightening and uniting. We're getting closer as a culture, magic culture.
Yeah, what was that?
Massive Attack from the album.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Hello? Why is it so weird?
Touch the button. There we go.
On, am I on? Oh, there we go. Yeah, it was turned off also earlier, so I had to turn it on, which I remember from last time.
Last week.
So we know all the quirks of whoever fucks with the studio before we get here.
Stab.
Just stab. just stab.
Just let us handle it. Hey, we should put a new sound.
We sure should.
We are the Sounds from the Street people.
Usually when I listen to the podcast, it's pretty... The ones that I do choose to listen to are pretty, you know, straight. I mean, there's nothing, technically, it sounds perfect to me.
Ooh.
That could be because I'm listening to myself.
And you get turned on.
Or to us, yeah. But we haven't had an issue where we've had to upload it.
Yeah, that's true. Oh,
that's the one good thing. And I checked it yesterday. Every podcast that we've done since September of 2014 is on one link, and then I should find the other one that has like the really old ones.
Oh wow.
From like back in the day. We should
2012 and shit.
Oh yes. Gotta find that one.
Party like it's 2012.
Wasn't that long ago. But
and party we did.
Every night, man. Always out there. Always out on the prowl. We've had some good times, some bad times, some mediocre times.
Some meh times.
Some meh. Meh. But anyways, we're going to be having a guest later this evening. I almost said afternoon because the sun is still shining.
Sun is shining strong.
Shot in the Dark will be here, and they're local to the area, and they're going to do an acoustic performance for us, so that should be exciting. And let's see, a new story I had was Prince, who, as everybody knows by now, he was found in his elevator at Paisley Park last week, and just some new information has come out about what they're doing to move forward with his music and his estate and the money that he has, because technically he wasn't married and he didn't have any I guess legal heirs, if you want to put it in layman's terms. So they found his musical vault, which was literally like behind a closed door. So this should be an interesting story. The vault at Prince's Paisley Park home, thought to contain at least 100 albums worth of unreleased material, has been drilled open. The bank-style vault is said to have been a large room under the property containing shelves of Prince's music, so much that ABC reports that Prince's estate could put out an album a year for the coming century. One day, someone will release them. I don't know that I'll get to release them, Prince told The View of his vault back in 2012. There's just so many. The Bremer Trust have temporary authority over Prince's estate. He left no will, and it's not clear if or when the release of the music is likely to happen. Susan Rogers, Prince's former engineer, said in the report, "We could put out more work in a month than most people could in a year or more." The cause of Prince's death on April 21st, meanwhile, is now the subject of a criminal investigation regarding a possible drug overdose. The development is the result of prescription drugs being found at the time of the musician's death. The Associated Press reports that an unnamed law enforcement official confirmed on Thursday that investigations were underway. The same individual also confirmed previous reports that Prince was found unconscious on a plane just a few days before his death. So, that's kind of interesting.
No.
I'm sure we'll be able to hear some of that music.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In the future. And they've done that for other artists, too, I think.
Yeah, David Bowie is supposed to be releasing some stuff post, what do you call it, post-mortem?
Yeah.
Post-famously or whatever.
Oh, posthumous.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
So, I guess
that's the way to do it if you want. I mean, I don't know if he meant for it to be released.
Yeah.
Prince, at least.
He was very, everything in terms of how the music was released, he was very reserved about it. Yeah. He seemed very conservative about how the music was getting out there. So.
I heard this interview where this, you know, Wendy Williams, mm-hmm. she's talking about, because she was good friends with him, and she's talking to, you know, I saw the interview where she's talking about him, obviously. I didn't really watch the show, but I was kind of interested because she's kind of an interesting character to watch and hear her talk about certain personalities.
Right.
And she was saying, like, every time that he would call you, it wouldn't be him, it would be one of his representatives or his assistants or whatever. And they would always text you, like, he wants to see you tonight at certain time, mm-hmm. at certain place. Mm-hmm. But it would never, you would just automatically know it was Prince. He is Prince. And whenever they would contact you, you knew you had to be there. And she said that whenever she would go to one of his after parties, which mm-hmm. is most of the events he invited people to were after parties after one of his shows, that he would tell her, like, tell everybody where to sit. Like, you sit here, you sit there, you know, like, everybody had an assigned seating. He was really particular about who's going to sit with who, because he thought that it would just make better or, like, livelier conversation or a better time. And it was just kind of like, if he's like that about sitting arrangements, imagine how he is with his music arrangement, you know? So right. It's going to be really interesting to see how they're going to pile that up into an, or how they're going to pile all those songs into an album if they're not already in an album, I guess.
Right.
So, but I also heard a lot of talk about his assistant or his producer making music videos, like, fully paid for, full on music videos with, like, actors and stuff like that, and like a full on project.
Yeah, like a movie.
Yeah.
A short movie or short film.
Yeah, and then she's like thinking, oh, great, you know, we did this music video and it's gonna do really well. And then he would just put it in the vault. And he's like, no, I'm not gonna release it. I'm gonna put it right here. And, like, so I really can't wait to see those, because apparently he's been doing that since 1984. So.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So we'll see.
I wonder.
Or he's had that vault since 1984.
Yeah, I wonder what he was saving it for.
Who knows? I don't think he even knows.
Maybe he just wanted to have it. So
he was very into his faith, and I feel like he would always say, like, I'm just going to leave it out to God. This is all for God, you know, mm-hmm. because he was like Jehovah's Witness. And one of the things Wendy was talking about was, like, no cursing. She's like, he hated when I curse. And he's like, well, don't curse, Wendy. You're too pretty to curse. Like, you don't need to be cursing all the time. You know, like, why would you want to curse? You know? So he was very, like, and I don't think people really, like, paid attention to that part of him. I mean, obviously they paid attention to all the sexy parts of him and, like, obviously his great talent, but never his, like, he wanted to study the Bible.
His religious
aspect, yeah. Because I think, in a way, he wasn't hiding it, but in a way he didn't really want to, you know, I don't know. Like, I think he had both separately, yet he always thanked God for his talents. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just interesting. He's an interesting character,
did not know that.
Another news, I do have Radiohead in the news. Uh-huh. It just came out today, 14 hours ago. So it says right here, out of Pitchfork, Radiohead fans receive mysterious Burn the Witch leaflets. The band Know Where You Live, according to cards sent to the UK fans in the post. Oh my God, it's an actual leaflet. Radiohead fans are on the lookout for signs of the band's forthcoming album. Following the announcement of a world tour and speculation around their registration of two new companies, Down Chorus LLP and Down Chorus Limited, this morning, several UK fans received an eerie, mysterious update via post. Reports have emerged of leaflets reading, "Sign a song of sixpence that goes, burn the witch, we know where you live," with an embossed Radiohead logo, which is what I have tattoo on my left arm. Via Twitter and Reddit, users who say they have previously made offers from the group, previously made orders from the group. Burn the Witch is the name of Radiohead's track, thought to have originated around 2003 to 2005. Below you can hear two very brief snippets of the intro and check out the leaflets. Pitchfork has contacted the band's representatives for comment. You can read the 19 unreleased Radiohead songs that could be on their next album on the Pitch. And then this is the leaflet they got. Mm-hmm. And it's just basically...
Are they talking about me again?
They're... Brenda Lynch. I guess what they're trying to say is, like... They're big on Big Brother. Like, they're big on, like, conspiracies and stuff like that. Which Big Brother in London is not, like, a...
CCTV.
Yeah, it's not...
They've been doing that for a long time.
Right. So they're just saying, like, we know where you live. Like, this is for you. Burn the Witch, you know?
They're trying to scare some of their fans.
I think it's awesome. I wish I kind of, you know, was there for... I would have gotten one of those in my mailbox, but, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ordered anything through their website, though. I think I've tried ordering King of Limbs when it came out, and it was just, the site was down because it was the release date and everything. Everybody was trying to get their hands on, because you know when they first release something, they're like, oh, there's special ones that have like signatures or like a stain or, you know, like watermark, I don't know. And the website was just down and I couldn't get it through to buy my little copy, but I was successful with In Rainbows because it was free.
What year did that come out?
2007.
Oh, okay. I think I remember that.
Yeah, so that one was, or Choose Your Own Price.
Yeah, I remember when that came out.
So obviously I was still in high school, so my price was zero, but eventually I did buy it at Virgin Records.
Virgin.
Yeah.
Yep, you were still around.
Before they went out of business and became a Forever 21. But I bought it up here when I was visiting, because they were going out of business when I was visiting. And I was like, oh yeah, this is where I'm going to buy my shit. And I bought like...
Back in the day.
I think I bought Bjork's Best Of and The Smiths, The Best of The Smiths. And that CD I burned to the ground. And... I also bought Sigur Rós, and I bought a bunch of Radiohead that I was missing. Oh, good times.
Good times.
Let's just say, going back to San Diego on the airplane with all that shit, I got stopped by security.
Like, what you got in there?
TSA. Yeah, they were really worried because of CD-ROMs, and they're like, "What? Who buys these anymore?"
Oh, right, because I had literally, 2007, I literally just started using an iPod.
Yeah.
I had not converted when it came out, 2001.
Yeah.
I was totally against it, and then somebody gave theirs to me, and I was like, whatever.
Yeah. I like the portability. Oh my God. Portobello mushrooms.
Portability.
Of having the iPod. I did like that because it's so tiny and you can put it in your pocket, and that to me was attractive, but I could just never afford one.
Yeah. They were pricey.
But now nobody gives a shit.
Now it's just there.
Now it's like your phone. And I was so against the iPhone too. I was like, it's a phone, a camera, and an iPod all in one. What if it breaks and I'm left with nothing, you know?
What the hell?
Yeah. But
what the fuck?
Alas,
here we are.
Codependency.
Less than 10 years later.
Exactly.
That was part of his evil plan.
Burn the witch.
We're burning slowly if you think about it.
Oh, Lord. And we're witches for sure.
Every use.
Yeah.
Just get one step closer to death, people. That's what we do here at Mutiny Radio, in case you're just tuning in.
bring you down.
Glastonbury, the Glastonbury Festival lineup was just announced. This is from theenemy.com. Glastonbury Festival has announced more acts for its sprawling 2016 lineup, which is being headlined by none other than Adele, Muse, and Coldplay. I would have never guessed those three. After recently posting the acts for the Dance Village, Silver Haze, the festival has now shared who we can expect to see at the Common. The festival describes the Common, which is located in the southeast corner of the site, as an entire late-night world that embodies the true spirit of the festival. Ooh. Tribal temples and dark caves, incredible live music, ritualistic paint throwing, tomato fights, a Celtic festival of the dead, and a jaw-dropping waterfall. That sounds where I want to be. Acts include a DJ set from the streets, Mike Skinner. I haven't heard of him in years. Poet Kate Tempest, Sub Focus, and drum sound and bass line Smith. Yeah, I think they just posted this the other day. Somebody else I know is playing this festival, but I mean, it's a pretty well-known festival, and they have some pretty big names in attendance every year. So if you want to find out more, you can go to their official website, glastonbury.com, and then as also the Enemy always has lots of information about any upcoming festivals over there. Oh, the festival's other main headliners include Beck, Falls, LCD Sound System, Churches, James Blake, PJ Harvey, ZZ Top, New Order, Disclosure, and Bring Me the Horizon, among many more. This will take place June 22nd through the 26th and is now completely sold out. So I guess it's kind of like their version of Coachella, I'd say.
Which festival is it?
Glastonbury.
Well, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the big one. Mm-hmm. I have Tom DeLonge in the news. If you didn't know, Tom DeLonge was a former member of Blink-182, which I kind of rekindled my love for in the last few days. And they have released some new shit, like, yesterday. So I haven't listened to it yet, so I'm not going to say anything.
Me neither.
Tom DeLonge for real about this UFO stuff? Motherboard investigates. It's not... Oh my God, how long is this? It's not that long. Okay. that's my place. It's not every motherboard interviews a rock star, but it's also not every day a rock star releases a 700-page opus about aliens and UFOs and deep government conspiracy going back to the 1940s. Tom DeLonge, the former guitarist and co-lead singer of Blink-182, has a new act. It's called Secret Machines, and it's a massive project that includes books, films, music about UFO phenomena. The first installment, a novel called Chasing Shadows, co-written with author A.J. Hartley, came out April 5th. It's a rocking page-turner about a skeptical journalist who runs a UFO debunking website, a Holocaust survivor, and a Harris whose father mysteriously dies, and a Marine pilot who gets recruited in a secret government technology project at Area 51. Somehow, their stories all intersect. But the book isn't pure fiction. DeLonge says it's based on real events and sourced from DeLonge's own research. For as long as I can remember, I have sought answers, he wrote in the foreword. The rock star has a circle of 10 advisors helping him on this stuff, he says, and one of them is a high-level member of the Pentagon. Wow. This Department of Defense advisor gave DeLonge a go-ahead to take the story, the real story, to the masses on the condition that he introduce it bit by bit through fiction and nonfiction. DeLonge has long been dipping in and out of the UFO conspiracy theory community. In 2011, he launched a website called Strange Times, which fizzled and has appeared multiple times on the cult hip paranormal talk show Coast to Coast.
Oh, I've heard of that.
We talked to DeLonge about his beliefs, his project, and how Chasing Shadows came into his existence. We also dive into the weird and wonderful world of conspiracy theorists in the longest radio Motherboard episode to date. Featuring Tom DeLonge, Motherboard editor and chief Derek Mead, senior supervising Welcome back. Producer Chris O'Coin, managing editor Adrian Jeffries, and reporter Jason Kobler, and paranormal investigator, dark journalist.
That's Big Brother telling you what to do through your fucking iPhone. Fuck you, Steve Jobs. Speaking of conspiracies.
For real.
That's interesting, though. I didn't know that he completely just went off the
So what it seems
radar.
Like is he's not only, it's, I mean, it's not really out of the radar because he is releasing a novel and he's releasing a movie.
Okay, I mean, he went off the deep end somehow.
Yeah.
That's
right. Well, he's always believed in UFOs and there's a bunch of Blink-182 songs, you know.
Touching
that,
on that subject.
Yeah. So, but it's just kind of like now he's like a little more serious where he actually has people who are like, quote unquote, credible on in the area with the government conspiracies and Pentagon and Area 51 and all that. But I mean, it sells. I'm not going to lie. I would probably read it because to me, that's interesting. I mean, I don't believe it per se, but I think it's an interesting thing to read. Because conspiracies, even if you're like, no, they're interesting to read. It's an interesting read. It's kind of like reading 1984, you know.
That was a good book.
Yeah.
I enjoyed reading it. I should read it again.
I have it if you want to borrow it.
I think I have it too. Okay. And Animal Farm too. I read that one.
Oh, I need to read that one.
Yeah, that's interesting. That one's, I mean, 1984 is pretty relevant, but I feel like Animal Farm, I'm starting to like, I mean, I can see it, like,
In
our day-to-day lives, you know? But, I mean, and he wrote those books back after World War II, I think, right?
Yeah.
In the late 40s, early 50s. And it's just interesting seeing how it plays out even decades later, you know?
Yeah.
How things are still relevant. But, yeah, I mean, I believe in some of that stuff, too. I mean, some of it's kind of far-fetched and kind of outlandish, but then I think, you know, I know that ghosts exist, so there's got to be other life forms out there,
right? Maybe they're all ghosts. Just space ghosts.
They're all like, oh, I love that cartoon. It inspired
cartoon.
Me. Yeah, Space Ghost, Coast to Coast. Remember?
No, I never seen that.
It was on there he is right there. Is my voice coming through, by the way? Okay. I just thought it was like, maybe I'm hallucinating. I'm just talking into the microphone and nothing's coming out.
No, I can hear you.
But it was a cartoon. It either came out, I think it came out like in the 90s. It was on Cartoon Network. And he was like, dressed like a superhero with a mask. And he would interview famous people. You never saw it?
I never saw it, but I think I've seen
It's probably on YouTube. It's pretty funny. I mean, he would ask just like kind of outlandish questions. I can't think of one in particular, but I think he interviewed Jim Carrey at one point when it was like the height of his career. But it's weird. Yeah, I think it was around that time, and he was. I mean, it's Jim Carrey. He's talking to Jim Carrey, but he's a cartoon. It was like kind of a weird thing to see back then. But now it's not that big of a deal.
It's been done.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, this guy's hilarious.
Wow, I need to check that out.
Yeah, Space Ghost, Coast to Coast. That's what he called himself.
That's catchy.
He's just an egotist, just like the rest of us.
Makes sense.
Yeah, you gotta have a story to tell.
You gotta have your ego.
You gotta have it somehow in your arsenal. Keep it going. How come there's all kinds of weird shit in here? Look at the microphone. Look at that.
What happens here after hours?
They love to turn off the second microphone because whoever was sitting in this chair doesn't deserve to have a voice.
They're just like chewing on the,
or like
the microphone cover.
Just like hitting their face against the microphone.
The foam, yeah.
But actually, it's every time I try and use it, it's always like, just get rid of it. I don't want a second microphone. I only need one.
Because they're loaders. They're probably here with themselves.
And they're like, aw, screw this. And then those mics are like, just, I don't need to look at them. I don't need to leave them the way they are. I need to physically move them to the other side of the table so I don't have to even think about other people being in the studio with me.
Yeah.
It's like this weird, like, psychological shift that happens.
They don't want to be reminded of how lonely they are.
Things can get, I can say this from experience, and maybe you can too, but it gets kind of lonely in here if it's just one person.
It does.
But it was kind of fun when I used to do it and there was the cafe, because then people would come in and kind of, there was
interact
that,
with you a little bit.
Exactly. There was that whole vibe. But nowadays, it's kind of a weird dynamic. There hasn't been a lot of things happening at 8 o'clock recently. I mean, rentals.
No, there hasn't. I think a lot of the stuff goes down now at
Fridays.
On Fridays,
she's been doing a lot of stuff on Fridays. And then she does a lot of appearances at different comedy places around San Francisco. So good for her. Good for you, Pam.
Yeah, yay, Pam.
She's an amazing lady. And, you know, the station's still kind of floating along. We're still here. And we always have interesting stories to tell, I feel.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Being here.
Maybe not that interesting.
Super interesting.
Yeah. It always sounds better after I listen to it. I'm like, ah, oh, that's so awesome.
That's so professional.
And now we're like, ugh. The weather is just kind of making us like,
I know, it's making us so sleepy.
Like
I would definitely like enjoy like a popsicle right now.
I'm sure you would. All melting and sugary coated and
an orange-sicle.
Ooh, those are good with the cream.
The creamsicle.
Creamsicle. Orange popsicle.
Orange creamsicle.
Yeah, what brand was there? Was it Dole?
I don't know.
I can't remember the one I used to
have. Dole makes pretty good popsicles, though.
Uh-huh. Dole banana.
Dole pineapple. All right, we'll stop. We're not getting paid by Dole, by the way.
Keep being
Dole,
weird.
If you're hearing this. We're pitching an idea. We'll talk to you. Our people will talk to your people.
You know where to find us. Yeah. Or maybe not. We're on Facebook, Sounds from the Street. That's our Facebook page. And then the Mutiny Radio page is going through some updates, I believe. But they kind of defaulted back to the original web page. But then they had the new one for a period of time. But it wasn't completely updated. But anyways, mutinyradio.fm, that's our hubbub for now.
And yes, I concur.
Anyways, we were kind of doing a semi-tribute to Prince last week, so I thought we would play, there's a couple songs on this wonderful mix CD that I made not too long ago. Well, pretty long ago, like 2002, 2003. Oh. But it really came in handy because I do not have any of his stuff on record. No way. Or, yeah. So now I do. Now I can safely say I do. But anyway, stay tuned for more Mutiny Radio.
ride. But I got to have your face all up in the face.
Do you think? Purple. て。
これは中やな。
テラスハウスオンネットフリック。
Yeah.